Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Wehner brought to you by Xfinity, America's best internet service provider, according to speedtest.net. John joins us right now on the Fan Morning Show. Good morning, John. How are you?
Where's the introduction? My goodness.
Yeah, we're
technical issues.
There's some things that we're working through. We're going to get it back up. It'll be back. Did you miss it? Have people identified you as that?
You know what? At first I was a little embarrassed by the whole introduction thing, and then after, you know, several weeks in a season, it's like, wow, it's actually really cool.
It's all producer Matt. He put it all together. We'll get it back for next week.
Zeiss spilled a cup of water on the CD player that we use.
Yeah.
Okay. How are you guys doing? I mean, there's no way. I want honesty out of you guys right now. I know you guys had a big last couple of days. It's a newsworthy weekend with the AB stuff, obviously, the horrible game Sunday night, and the late game Sunday night. And I know you guys get up at like 2 in the morning. No, who stayed up last night to the end of that game?
Colin, he did.
Yeah.
We stayed up for like five innings.
Yeah, he reports back to us.
Then he reports back to us. Then we watch everything on MLB.com. You can watch that condensed game and see all the important plays.
Nice. Yeah, I was that. Thanks for the honesty. But my goodness, you guys have been busy here lately. It's been action-packed.
Yeah, who's interviewing who? You're the best. Let me ask you this, though. In that 4-run ninth inning last night, you know, it's one thing for a guy to get a hit and, you know, the games are kind of dwindling and you're out of it in the standings, or it's the fifth inning of a getaway day game and it's 8-1 or something. Brian Reynolds continues to impress me that he hits in all situations. He hits in all counts. He hits lefties. He hits righties. He hits to all fields. I'm just waiting for the drop off, John, and I don't know if it's coming.
He kind of is in the middle of a drop-off. He's lost like 5 or 6 points in the last few days. I guess for him, that's the drop-off, you know. It's just, he's been so consistent. And we've kind of talked about this at times over the last several months. Is when you always talk about hitting. Everybody's going to fail. Everybody's going to have their slumps. They're going to be up and down. You know, you try to ride the highs for as long as you can, and you try to shorten the lows, and his slump is like 230. You know, it's like 10 for 35 or 10 for 45 or something. You know, it's like his slumps are pretty short. I think over the last week, I don't know. I know he was up near 335, 336. So he came in last night at 327. So that's about it for him. I think when you're a good hitter and your mechanics are so solid and his swing is so simple. There's not a lot of movement. There's no big leg kick. There's not a lot of timing involved with it. I think it's a little bit easier to be consistent in terms of, getting to the ball and seeing the ball and having good at bats. And I think that's part of it. And you could kind of say the same with Newman too. They both kind of have short, efficient swings with not a lot of mechanical or timing things in it. And they're confident and they know how to hit and they love hitting in key situations. I mean, those guys have come up big all year long, and you know, the walk-offs, Newman's had the walk-off hits this year, and I know Reynolds had one that last homestand, and it's really impressive because those situations aren't easy to hit, when you got the game on the line.
Sorry, John, if it's safe to assume they're set 1-4, top of the order coming back next year, Newman, Reynolds, Marte, Bell. What the heck could the contingency plan be, or what's the initial plan, and then maybe plan B after that, going forward in right field in that fifth spot in the order that Melky has ended up hitting in so often this year?
You know, I think you almost have to have Colin Moran in there too, whether it's five or six. The right fielder, if it's Polanco, if he can come back healthy. You know, I don't know if Osuna's done enough yet, although I love the fact that Osuna, after all these years, is finally getting some playing time and getting an opportunity to move around. You know, he's not the swiftest right fielder. I don't know. That's obviously not his strongest position. He's a really good defensive first baseman. By far, I think the best in the system. But in right field, you know, a little bit shaky, doesn't have a lot of speed or anything like that. But, I guess they got to wait and see on Polanco's health. Moran, for me, is deserved to stay in the lineup with the kind of year he's having. You project him out over a full season, he's a 100 RBI guy this year. You know, maybe the power numbers are a little lower than you want from a corner infielder. But, you know, when you're talking 290 with, you know, 20 homers, 100 RBIs, he won't reach 20 this year, but with a full season of at bats, maybe. So you could make a case for him in the fifth spot, in the right field spot, if Polanco comes back healthy and can find some consistency, or maybe even a platoon with him and Osuna. Otherwise, that is one area where you wonder what they're going to do as far as trying to fill that hole out there. I don't see Cabrera. I think Cabrera gets more at bats than the Pirates intended. He's a nice player too, obviously. He's done a nice job with the bat and he's opened some eyes and surprised some people, but he's not an everyday guy. And who knows if he'll be back here next year or not. I mean, he seems to like it, but, the right field spot. The catching spot, obviously, are a couple of areas that I think they're going to have to address.
We were talking about this early this morning, and here's where you're at your best, John. I hate to typecast you, but this is where you're at your best. You remember when the Pirates in the East Coast teams used to just do that one big road trip, San Diego, L.A., San Francisco. Baseball was baseball back then. Do you have any old candlestick stories, like old Kevin Bass or Bud Black or weather stories or whatever? Because I seem to remember there were times you'd go to L.A. or San Diego and it'd be 85 degrees, then you'd get to Candlestick and it'd be 29 degrees. Was it crazy to play in Candlestick when they still played there?
It was an absolute miserable place to play. I mean, the wind howled. I mean, it was pretty windy here last night at this ballpark, whatever it's called nowadays. And I never found it being as windy as it was at Candlestick. Candlestick was old. It was crummy. It was windy. It was freezing. I got one story. I feel like I can't name the person who did this. Okay, so the clubhouse was, I don't know, 100 yards away from the dugout. And the dugout, all they had at the end of the dugout was a urinal. So if you had to go number two, you were in trouble.
Right.
Okay, and so you don't have time to go back to the clubhouse and do your business and everything like that. So there was an individual who really had to go, and they're trying to figure out how the heck are they going to be able to go. And so a trainer got a shoebox, and so the guy had to go, and so the guy went, and like in between innings, you see the trainer carrying a shoebox back to the clubhouse with a present, you know? Why is this guy walking across like carrying a shoebox like there's a little bunny rabbit in it, you know, like with this great care. But anyhow, yeah, that's one that came to my mind right away. You know, it's, you had to...
Steve Pagese is my vote, but anyway, continue.
Who's your vote?
Steve Pagese.
Wow, where'd you come up with that name? Was he a Pirate?
Yeah, he was on your team.
My gosh. I played against him coming up a little bit and knew him very well, but I don't remember him being on the Pirates.
Yes, he played for the Pirates in like 94. All right,
I refuse to believe that story unless you tell me it was Mike LaValle.
Or Medre Cummings.
No, I'm not saying that. Too much respect for the man. Medre Cummings, I know, that was a cat right there. He wouldn't have cared. Medre would have just went to the clubhouse, and if they had to wait for him to come out, they would have to wait for him to come out.
So,
he wouldn't care.
So you're telling me the facilities at Candlestick were wonderful?
Oh yeah, they were pretty bad, but it was a cold and miserable place. I mean, it was some kind of bad there. Maybe the worst place to play, day games too, with the bright sky and the wind. I mean, they talk about Wrigley and pop-ups could be an event. One of the scarier things for me out there was, Kevin Brown, when I was with the Marlins, was throwing a perfect game, and Leland puts me in for defense in like the sixth or seventh inning. You know, a windy day, high sky, you're just sitting out there and thinking, man, how bad would this look for him and me if I screw up a pop-up in a perfect game? You know, a no-hitter and you make an error, who cares? It's still a no-hitter. A perfect game and you screw up, it's no longer a perfect game, and there aren't many of those. So, yeah, that was probably – and he did that to me in the playoffs, too, in the final game out there in San Francisco. He put me in for defense for Sheffield. I'm thinking, this guy's a madman. He's crazy. He's going to get him and I both fired. That was probably the two games I was most scared. Don't hit it to me.
John, thank you so very much. Man. As always, it's wonderful. We'll stay up tonight and check you out. And then tomorrow, getaway day game. So thanks again. We'll be watching you.
All right, guys. Hope you can get some rest.
Yes, I'll try.
Talk to you next week.
Yep, we'll talk to you next week. Shoebox. The old shoebox greeting. Here you go.
A tiny division of Hallmark.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.